Good morning, everyone. Today we are examining the case of the resurrection of Jesus. So can we please have the opening remarks from the prosecution and the defence?
Members of the jury, did Jesus of Nazareth really rise from the dead? This morning I will seek to prove to you, beyond any shadow of a doubt, that this whole story is a complete and utter lie. I will show you...
Silence in court, please. Will the jury please behave?
Thank you, Your Honour. I will show you what really happened.
Members of the jury, this morning I too will present to you what really happened. And in doing so, I will show to you that Jesus of Nazareth did indeed rise from the dead.
Quiet, please. Thank you. So now can we proceed with the case for the prosecution?
Thank you, Your Honour. I would like to call my first witnesses, the three women who came to the tomb. Thank you, ladies, for coming here this morning. Now, I would like you to please cast your minds back to the early hours of the Sunday after the crucifixion of Jesus, when you made your way to the tomb. Am I right in saying that it was still dark?
Yes, it was very early.
Members of the jury, please note, it was early in the morning and it was still dark. And is it reasonable to say that all three of you were very distressed and emotionally overcome with grief over the apparent death of your friend Jesus?
Yes, we were heartbroken. We'd loved Jesus.
And when you arrived at the tomb, was there anyone else around who spoke to you?
Yes, there was a man dressed in white. He spoke to us.
Your Honour, I have in my hand a document itemised Exhibit 1, which is an authorised record of the event written by someone called Mark, which says that a man dressed in white did indeed speak to them. Could one of you please read out the underlined text of verse 6, where it records what the man said to you?
You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is not here.
Can you confirm that these were the words that Jesus said? These were the words said to you?
Yes, they were, absolutely.
And could one of you please read out the underlined text further down in verse 8?
Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid.
Can you confirm then that you were indeed trembling and bewildered by your experience?
Yes.
Members of the jury, can I suggest to you that what we have here is a simple case of confusion? These women were obviously greatly distressed, and in the trauma of the moment, they simply went to the wrong tomb. No. Because it was dark, they were scared. They simply misunderstood what was happening to them. Your Honour, in my hand, I have a document itemised Exhibit 2, which is a quote from another authorised account of the event by someone called Luke. It says, and I quote, "Two men stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground." You see, did they meet one man or two men? They had their faces to the ground, so they don't know who they were talking to. They don't know what they were seeing. Your Honour, members of the jury, I put it to you that these women arrived early in the morning while it was still dark. They went to the wrong tomb. They arrived and the gardeners approached them and scared them. When the gardeners tried to tell them they were in the wrong place and that Jesus wasn't there, they misunderstood it to mean he'd risen from the dead. They ran home, frightened, confused. are emotionally distressed. Your witness.
Good morning, ladies. Firstly, I wish to apologise for my most learned friend's rather derogatory and somewhat sexist remark, suggesting that you were, in fact, emotional wrecks. Let's distinguish reality from fiction here. To clarify the situation, can you tell the members of the jury and my most right honourable friend, how do you know you were at the right tomb?
Well, two of us have watched Joseph of Arimathea place the body of Jesus in the tomb. It was Joseph's own tomb. He'd only recently had it cut out of the rock. You couldn't mistake it.
So you actually saw them lay the body of Jesus into the tomb?
Yes.
And what happened then?
They put a stone in front of it and a seal. It was a Roman seal on it. You didn't see that very often. The tomb was different. We knew where it was. We weren't mistaken at all.
And what about this evidence from my most learned friend that there's some kind of conflict between one man or two men at the tomb? Which was it? Was it one or two?
Well, there were two there, two angels, but only one of them spoke to us.
I see. And you say angels. So could it not have been gardeners, as my most learned friend suggested?
No, we all thought they were angels. Their faces were shining, their clothes were dazzling white. Gardeners don't look like that, even after they've had a really good wash.
Indeed. Your Honour, I would like to submit into evidence Exhibit 3, who is a gardener working at the site of the tombs.
Calling the gardener. Calling the gardener.
Do you like to face the jury, please, sir? Your Honour, and members of the jury, I suggest to you, without any disrespect to this gentleman here, that no one, not even in the dark, would mistake such a person as being a dazzling, bright and shining angel. Thank you, sir. You may leave. My honourable friend for the prosecution very kindly quoted from Exhibit 1, the words spoken to you by the angel. Let us remind ourselves of those words. You are looking for Jesus, the Nazarene, who was crucified. He is not here. Now, you've already confirmed that these are the accurate words that were spoken, but did he say anything else?
Yes. He asked us why we were looking for the living among the dead. He told us that Jesus was not there, but that he'd risen from the dead.
Right. Okay. So let me get this straight. You didn't see gardeners. You saw an angel. The angel said to you that Jesus wasn't there, but he followed it with the words, he has risen from the dead. And how did that make you feel?
We were scared, but we were also excited that Jesus was alive.
And in fact, it wasn't the fear of the event that made you run home, was it? It was the fact that the angel actually told you to run home.
Yes. Well, yes, and Jesus.
Pardon? And Jesus, what do you mean?
Well, as we left the tomb, we saw Jesus as well, and he told us to go and tell the disciples that he was alive and that he'd meet us in Galilee.
So we said nothing to anyone on the way home. We just ran home straight away to tell the disciples.
Thank you, Your Honour, and members of the jury. There was no confusion here, as my most learned friend suggests, that they mistook the location of the tomb. Yes, it was dark, and yes, these women were feeling upset, but they didn't go to the wrong tomb. They knew exactly which was the right tomb. They'd seen the body of Jesus being laid in there just a couple of days earlier. And when they got there, they were told that Jesus was not in the tomb, not because it was a gardener saying they'd come to the wrong place, but because he had, in fact, risen from the dead. And in fact, it was wonderfully confirmed when they actually met the risen Jesus for themselves. Thank you, ladies. You may step down. Thank you.
Members of the jury, all right. Perhaps these women did indeed meet Jesus. But maybe it was because Jesus never really died in the first place. I would like to call upon Dr. Taylor.
Calling Dr. Taylor. Calling Dr. Taylor.
Dr. Taylor.
Hello.
In your professional opinion, is it possible for someone to faint or enter a physical state by which they could appear to be dead, but not really be dead?
Yes, it is possible. There's a condition known as the Lazarus syndrome, where somebody's pulse might stop and they might appear to be completely dead, though later their pulse restarts. And then there's catalepsy. Mm. Catalepsy, they go completely immobile and they have the complete appearance of being dead, but then they're still alive underneath.
And what might it take to revive such a person?
Ah, well, clearly rest and time, but then on top of that, if they get a change of temperature, particularly if it gets cooler, perhaps a strong smell might revive them.
Mm. Okay. Members of the jury, I put it to you that Jesus did not die, but merely fainted after only a few hours on the cross. I have in my hand a document itemized Exhibit 4. This is once again taken from the authorized Gospel of Mark, which says, and I quote, Pilate was surprised to hear that Jesus was already dead. When he learned from the centurion that this was so, he gave the body to Joseph. Note, Pilate was surprised that Jesus had died so quickly. Members of the jury, I put it to you that although people thought that Jesus had died, in reality, he'd only fainted. When the body of Jesus was placed in the tomb, it experienced a time of rest. There was a change in the air temperature. And when mixed together with all those fragrant spices and the strong smells that have been placed all on his body, they helped to revive him after a couple of days or so. Having revived, he then merely pushed the stone away from the tomb and then appeared to the women and later to the disciples, pretending to have risen from the dead. Your witness.
Dr. Taylor, thank you so much for giving us some of your precious time this morning. From your appearance, you're obviously a very learned man and with many credentials, and no doubt hold a very highly paid job with a very responsible position in the hospital. So, Dr. Taylor, can I ask you, do you sometimes find your work stressful?
Oh, yes, sometimes.
And do you find in your work you often have to work late at night, perhaps sometimes working all through the night?
Yes, occasionally.
Objection! Is this really relevant?
If you'd like to wait for just a moment, I will show you that it is.
Get on with it, then.
Objection overruled.
Thank you, Your Honour. Dr. Taylor, when you have been working hard all through the night, how do you feel physically?
Tired, drowsy, pretty weak, that sort of thing.
Tired, drowsy, pretty weak. Dr. Taylor, during the 12 hours or so before Jesus was crucified, he had not slept and he hadn't eaten. He'd been dragged by guards through the town, back and forth, from building to building, interrogated, spat on, stripped and whipped. He'd been punched and pierced with thorns. He was humiliated in front of a crowd. He was forced to carry a heavy column of wood through the streets, which proved too heavy for his weak body. He was nailed to that wood through his hands and his feet, and he was continually mocked and spat on. Dr. Taylor, in your professional opinion, is it reasonable to believe that the intensity of all of this trauma that Jesus undertook would have caused him to die on the cross much sooner than normal?
It is possible, yes.
Your Honour, I have in my hand here Exhibit 5, which is an authorised account from a man called John. Dr. Taylor, I'd ask, could you read this, please? This is from chapter 19 of John's account.
Because the Jewish leaders did not want the bodies left on the crosses during the Sabbath, they asked Pilate to have the legs broken and the bodies taken down. The soldiers therefore came and broke the legs of the first man who had been crucified with Jesus, and then those of the other. But when they came to Jesus and found that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. Instead, one of the soldiers pierced Jesus' side with a spear, bringing a sudden flow of blood and water.
Thank you, Dr. Taylor. In your professional opinion, is this appearance of blood and water something you would expect to see in a person who has merely fainted?
No. No, it indicates that some of his internal organs had burst, and that would be more consistent with somebody who had died.
Thank you, Dr. Taylor. You may step down. Thank you. Members of the jury, the Roman guards of the day knew a dead body when they saw it. And those who hated Jesus would have wanted to make sure that Jesus was dead before he was taken off the cross. The fact that a spear was plunged into his side and out came blood and water was consistent with someone who had died. I put it to you, members of the jury, that Jesus did not faint, as suggested by my learned friend, but that he did die. And he died quicker than the others because of the pain, the sleep deprivation, and the physical suffering that he'd endured in the hours leading up to his crucifixion.
Members of the jury, perhaps the man on the cross did die. Maybe that man wasn't actually Jesus. Yeah, maybe that man wasn't actually Jesus. Perhaps Jesus was never crucified, but in fact, someone else was crucified in his place.
Members of the jury, please sit down. This is a ridiculous suggestion. I can't believe my most learned friend would insult your intelligence with such a ludicrous idea. Let me show you something, for example. Mr. Carlyle, can I ask you to come forward, please, and stand here? Mr. Pete Carlyle, thank you very much. And Mr. Dave Bevan, could you come up, please? And can you come and stand up here, please? So, Mr. Peter Carlyle and Mr. Dave Bevan. Now, anyone who is new to the jury may say, well, there's nothing wrong here. Here's Mr. Pete Carlyle, and here is Mr. Dave Bevan. But those of you who are familiar with being members of this jury, can you tell me, and be careful here, what is wrong with Pete Carlyle? Someone like to tell me? He's got hair, did you say? Sorry, a little bit more gracious answer. It is someone else, thank you. And someone like to tell me what is wrong with Mr. David Bevan? He has no guitar. And it's because it is not Mr. Bevan. Thank you very much, Mr. Lynchbury. And Mr. Thomas, thank you very much. You may be seated. When you've known someone for a long time, you don't mistake them for someone else. Members of the jury, to say that Jesus was a well-known person is an understatement. He'd been around for some 30 years. He was so well-known that you could not have impersonated him without being found out. How could all those who have been interrogating Jesus and mocking him all night not notice that the person on the cross was somebody different? Absolutely ridiculous. The truth is, it was Jesus who was crucified. All the people who saw him on the cross knew it was Jesus. He did die, and 3 days later, he rose again from the dead.
Your Honour, I'll be grateful if I could have a few minutes in order to review the case for the prosecution, please.
Very well. The court will be in recess for 10 minutes.
All rise as the court goes into recess. Everyone, please be seated. The court is now back in session. Justice Sally, please back.
Is the prosecution now ready to proceed?
Yes, Your Honour.
Then kindly proceed.
Members of the jury, perhaps it was Jesus who was on the cross. Perhaps he did die. Perhaps he was placed in the tomb. Perhaps the women did go to that tomb a couple of days later, found it empty. Can I suggest that the tomb was empty not because Jesus rose from the dead, but because the body of Jesus had been stolen? I would like to call two of the Roman guards, Rossus and Jonas, to the stand.
Calling the guards. Calling the guards. Make way.
Thank you, gentlemen, for joining us on your day off. Am I right in saying that you were guarding the tomb on the night that Jesus' body went missing?
Yes, sir. Yeah. That's correct.
That's right.
Why was this?
Well, when Jesus was alive, he had often talked about rising from the dead, didn't he?
And the priests reckoned that his disciples would try and steal the body away and try and make out that he had come alive.
and the priests encouraged Governor Pilate to send us to go and guard the tomb.
And what happened?
Sure, it was the disciples and came and stole the body that night.
Aha! See, ladies and gentlemen, members of the jury, there you have it. Do I need to say anything more? The disciples came along, stole the body of Jesus, and the followers of this Jesus are now lying to you all by saying that he rose from the dead. It is all fake news. Your witness.
Gentlemen, are you trained soldiers?
Oh, yes. Got all the badges.
This one, if you scratch it, you get blackcurrant. We've also got all the certificates.
And we've done all the courses.
And you say the disciples came and stole the body at night. Would you like to tell our most honourable jury just how many disciples were involved in this grave robbery?
Well, not exactly. It would have taken, what do you reckon? Two or three to move the stone, I reckon, and I reckon a couple of them to have the body away.
You seem a bit vague. Can you tell me, did you actually see the disciples steal the body?
Well, we didn't see them.
Well, can you tell my most honourable friend, why didn't you most actually see it happening?
We were asleep.
Would you like to... Could you just say that a little bit louder for the jury, please? You were...
Asleep.
Asleep, whilst on guard duty.
Yes, sir.
So here we are, highly trained soldiers, with all the badges, all the certificates, having done all of the courses, and yet you were sleeping on the job. Surely your commanding officer would have been extremely cross to hear about this. Such behaviour is a punishable offence, and you could well lose your jobs.
Well, you see, when we say asleep, we're sort of saying, well, a bit of dozing, a bit of staring at the back of your eyes.
Still alert.
Yeah.
Still alert.
Half awake, half asleep. Sorry, no, not, you know how it is.
But you didn't hear or see anything.
Well, no, but I reckon it was a well-planned stealth operation.
Yes.
That's what it was. They were in and they were out really quick before we even knew it. Stealth operation.
Your Honour, I have here in my hand a document itemised Exhibit 6, which is another extract from an authorised gospel by a man called John, referring to the arrival of the Apostle Peter at the empty tomb. And I quote, "He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen." Tell me, gentlemen, if the disciples were trying to steal the body of Jesus and do it as quickly as possible without being caught, why would they take time to unwrap the body and leave the grave clothes in the tomb and carefully take the headcloth in the place it in the same position as where it had been? Why would they do that?
It is a bit odd.
It is indeed very odd, and I would like to suggest that the disciples didn't do that at all. Whether you were asleep or dozing, either way, you did not actually see the disciples steal the body, did you? So how do you know that they stole it?
Well, someone must have taken the body. Stands to reason. It wouldn't have been us Romans, nor the priests, because they're the ones who told us to guard the tomb in the first place. So it must have been to the disciples. Who else would have taken it?
Well, I put it to you and the jury that no one took the body of Jesus, but rather that Jesus rose from the dead and left the tomb himself.
Objection, Your Honour. This is mere conjecture.
Sustained.
Have you ever found the missing body?
No, sir. Still missing.
Your Honour, I wish at this point to introduce into evidence Exhibit 7 and bring into court the missing body of Jesus.
Calling the missing body. Calling the missing body.
Well, where is it? I can't see anything.
Exactly, Your Honour. It is missing. and I wish to submit this as evidence.
Objection, Your Honour. You cannot submit something into evidence that isn't there.
Can the learned member of the prosecution provide us with a body of evidence?
No, Your Honour.
Then I will allow the missing body to be submitted as evidence.
Thank you, Your Honour. Gentlemen, it is my opinion that the testimony that you have given here is in fact not the truth.
Objection! These men are not on trial!
Overruled. Gentlemen, can I remind you that you are in a court of law and that you must tell the truth? Proceed, please.
Thank you, Your Honour. I have in my hand a document itemised Exhibit 8, which is yet another authorised account of the events by someone called Matthew. And I'd ask you, please, could you read what is written from Matthew 28?
When the chief priests had met with the elders and devised a plan, they gave the soldiers a large sum of money, telling them, "You are to say his disciples came during the night and stole him away while we were asleep." So the soldiers took the money and did as they were instructed.
Gentlemen, I put it to you that actually this is what actually happened. Do you agree?
Well, it wasn't our idea.
No, it wasn't our idea.
They came up with this plan because they weren't happy with our report.
Oh, well, could you please tell the court, please, what did you say in your report?
Well, we were on guard duty, as you said, and we were awake. And early in the morning, the ground started to tremble. And we saw... Yeah, tell them what we saw.
We only saw an angel. He was dazzling, absolutely dazzling. His clothes were as white as snow. And he had rolled the stone away from the entrance and was sitting on it.
And what did you do?
We couldn't do anything. We were petrified. We were shaking inside and out. And we couldn't move for a long time.
All we could do was stare. And then when we were able to break all free, we ran to tell the priests.
And they didn't like your story?
No, they didn't. So they had a meeting and then they offered us some money to say that the disciples had stolen the body.
We didn't want to cause a fuss.
Yeah.
So we just took the money and we just did as they said.
Yes. Thank you, gentlemen. You may leave, but please be prepared to be called later on a charge of perjury.
Does the prosecution have anything else it wishes to submit?
No, Your Honour. We don't have anything else to say.
In that case, please, can the defence provide its closing remarks?
Thank you, Your Honour. Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, no one has ever found the dead body of Jesus of Nazareth. But in the 40 days after his death and resurrection, hundreds of people said that they met the risen Jesus, people whose lives were transformed from that day onwards. You've heard this morning arguments from my most learned friend against the death and resurrection of Jesus, but I trust we've been able to show this morning clearly that his arguments are weak and easily dismissed. And in fact, the truth is that Jesus did indeed rise from the dead. It's not a made-up story. For 2,000 years, millions of people have travelled the world to preach the good news that Jesus is alive. And some of those people have given their lives in the process. Would they really do that for a story that is not true?
Members of the jury, this morning you have been presented with some of the evidence for the resurrection of Jesus. It is now time for you to decide for yourself whether the resurrection is fact or fiction. If it is fact, then you must decide what you should do in response. Court is adjourned.
Court, please stand.